it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards tonight, the Orioles-Yankees in the rubber game of this three-game series. Yankees, the Orioles won the first game behind Dylan Bundy, and the Yankees came back and won the second game last night behind Luis Severino. Tonight, Kevin Gausman will try to give the Orioles 2 out of 3. It is raining at Camden Yards. The infield is covered. So the way it looks right now, tonight we will not get started on time. There will be a rain delay of sorts. The skipper, Buck Showalter, right after this.
Rocco Botko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's manager's report. Chris Tillman last night, only 2 2/3, gave up 3 home runs. He hadn't given up one in his first 4 starts. Just poor location.
Chris wasn't good last night. That goes without saying. He a lot of times he gets in a step after maybe some challenges early on, but I could tell, and I think everybody at home could tell, he just wasn't carrying very crisp stuff, and command was an issue too. We were hoping, it might get different, but it didn't, and it was a challenge. His command and his stuff. So, I'd like to come up with a magic reason why, and we're in the business trying to figure that out. I mean, everybody can talk about why. I mean, about the issues and the problems, but we have to figure out why. And last night was not a step forward for him.
The fastball was around 89, 90, 91. He insisted that he felt fine. There's nothing wrong with the shoulder. Have you been around Chris long enough now that you can kind of look him in the eye and take him at his word?
Oh, of course. Chris is a team player. He's not going to put us in harm's way if he feels like he's not healthy. And, that can be good and bad. If he is healthy and we're not getting people out or commanding the baseball, then we've got to figure out the other part of it. But, that was a challenge for him last night. And, all indications are is that he's healthy.
Logan Verrett went 3 innings last night. Did you need a fresh arm today?
Yeah, unfortunately. Like I tell him every time, some things could have changed there. But that's part of the fallout, so to speak, of some short starts that people have to move. So Mike Wright will join us today, and I thought a little bit with Asher having 2 days off and only thrown something like 60 pitches last time out, but he had a strong work day yesterday preparing. I just don't think it's fair for him, and I think he deserves another chance.
Rocco Botko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's manager's report. We're talking about Mike Wright being up. How are the reports on him? I know he got off to a slow start, but pretty much everybody in that Norfolk rotation had gotten off to a slow start.
Well, Rock, frankly, it's been better. It's been better as the season's gone on, and Mike's still searching for that consistency that a guy with his pure stuff should have in order to be successful. But he was our best arm available, ready to pitch tonight. It would have been his start day, so he can present some length for us if we have a need.
And you mentioned Asher getting the start Friday. Is that an instance where you put more weight on what you saw from him leading up to that last start when he only went the 2 innings and try not to overreact to that one poor outing?
Yeah, and we know the answer. We asked many times, if not him, then who? I think that he deserves another opportunity, and see where we are at the end of that. He's presented himself well, except for that outing this year.
Manny Machado had his second career 4-strikeout game, 0-for-5, down to 210. I know you're getting asked about him a lot. What you're seeing from him, is it anything more complicated than what people are saying? Oh, he's just trying to hit home runs all the time.
Well, that's very easy to just put that little package on it, that bow on it, and say that's all it. But there's a lot of other things. I see him in here every day. Heck, he beat me here today. He's in the film room with Scott, and they're doing some things. Just so much you can do physically too, and some things get to be some mental and mental part of it too. But it's because he's played at such a high level, we almost expect it to be a given, and it's not. I mean, every I can name 3 or 4 guys that last year and times this year weren't hitting at all and are now. So it's something, unfortunately, it's like your kids, it's something that they got to go through, but you really would like to shorten it. And he's certainly doing his part, and the coaches are. It's just, you got to stay the tide.
And lastly, Caleb Joseph catching tonight. Wellington Castillo, we saw him get hit on a deflected ball last night. Is he okay?
No, he's not. He spent a long time in the emergency room last night. He was pretty sore afterwards, and had some complications from the contusion. So we went down it and went through it with the proper channels, and we're probably going to bring in another catcher tonight. And now it's just a matter of whether we DL him or try to go with 3 catchers, but he won't be available tonight.
Thank you, Bucks. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Well, Castillo is on the disabled list, and Francisco Pena is up, and tonight he'll be the backup catcher. By the way, a brief rain delay tonight. They tell us the game will start at 7:15, and that's certainly good news. Jim Hunter with Trey Mancini when we continue with a warm-up show right after this.
Orioles and Yankees finale here tonight. A slight rain delay. First pitch expected at 7:15. The ground's crew at the moment getting the field in shape. This is the Great Clips pregame show. Next time, save time with the new online check-in app from Great Clips. No more waiting around, because now we'll be waiting for you. Download our free app today, Great Clips. It's going to be great. Trey Mancini, 362 in the month of May. We'll chat with Trey up next on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles and Yankees, rubber game of three as the Orioles try to get two out of three before the Red Sox come to town, and visiting with Trey Mancini. And I got to believe that you're probably the only Oriole that is upset that today is the final day of May, the month you've put together.
Not really. To me, the most important thing is how we're doing. And obviously, we've been scuffling a little bit lately. But knowing this team and group of guys and the attitude everybody has, that won't last. I think everybody's ready for June to be here, though, for sure.
Well, team-wise, I can understand that, but the consistency you put together in the month, and the numbers are amazing. I mean, 362 batting average, hits in 15 of the 21. What have you learned from April to May where you seem to be more consistent and getting maybe not as good a pitch to hit, but still finding something to put in play?
Yeah, I've really realized that it's all about making adjustments. They're going to start pitching you differently if you have some success, and that happened. And at the end of April, I was struggling, and it was it took me a little bit of time to make some adjustments to how they were throwing me, and I finally did that and started seeing some off-speed pitches a lot better, and that's pretty much been my approach, that and just trying to stay kind of relaxed at the plate and not trying to, like, you know, pull the ball out to left field. Sometimes you can get in that habit, so it's more just taking the hits to right field when they give them to you on those, like, low outside pitches. That's been what I've been trying to do here lately.
It seems like because of your tremendous home run month in April, and five of your seven home runs were in April, that the opposing teams are reluctant to throw you a fastball. It doesn't look like they want to challenge you. So I guess that is the good approach, because if you're going to be off-speeded to death, you just have to say to them, okay, fine, you want to do that? I'll take a single or a double the other way.
Yeah, exactly. And that's been my whole thing. I haven't been too worried about, like, the home runs, that if I haven't had a home run in a little bit of time. I know they'll come eventually. But, in baseball, you just have to take what they give you. And a lot of the times I haven't really been getting a ton of pitches to drive. But luckily, I've been able to get some, you know, hits to the right side and balls over the infield. So if they keep throwing me like that, then that's what I'll try to keep doing.
It's all about production. And if you look at your RBIs, you had 12 in April and you have 12 in May, yet they've come in a different way. And you know what? That's okay, because as long as you understand that, you're still going to be able to do something to help drive a run in.
Yeah, absolutely. Runs and RBIs, if you think about it, are pretty much the only stats that matter in baseball at the end of the day. So whatever I can do to do that, because that means that helps the team win a game. That's the most important thing you can do, is score runs and drive runs in, because runs are how you win baseball games. So that's pretty much my main focus when I'm at the plate or at base running too. Like, once you're on the bases, you got to buckle down and score some runs there and try to maybe advance a base or do whatever you can to score.
Buck was asked about your overall play yesterday before the game, and one of the things he made a point of pointing out was, in fact, your base running. Last night, you get an infield hit, you leg it out, you beat the throw to get an RBI. Is that something that you have to learn over the course of time, where you take pride in saying, okay, I know I have a glove, I know I have a bat, but you know what? The legs are the other part of this game.
Yeah, definitely, and speed's never been my forte by any means at any level, but it doesn't really take any talent, I guess, to, you know, run balls out or try to run the bases as best you can. And even in a game that yesterday, I mean, the Yankees were in control of the game mostly, but even when it was 8-1, 8-2, and we made it 8-3, had a couple guys on base, like, we're a home run away from making it a close game there, so we're never out of it. So even in those games where it's kind of we might be getting beat a little bit, you still want to get home. You never want to give away in that bat, or if you have an opportunity to get an infield hit, know, just run like hell to first base. That's, yeah, I think that's the most important thing you can do there.
Are you, is it fair to say, a better breaking ball off-speed hitter now than maybe you were in April because of the fact that you're seeing such a steady diet of that? So if no other reason, by default, you have no choice but to try to get better at it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd say I've gotten better. And some days still you can kind of revert back. It's not like a consistent thing. Just some days you feel better than others, and some days you can stay back on it better than other times. So it's always a constant battle with yourself, like more so than the pitcher, honestly. Just controlling yourself and being patient and being willing to, you know, wait back and take a single on a changeup or slider that might be a tough pitch that you can punch through the hole there. And yeah, I've been learning that if that's what they give you, that's what you got to take.
It's been a tough stretch for the team, certainly, winning only 4 of the last 18 games. So this team is much better than that. Is it frustrating when you look back to how well everything went in April to all of a sudden this thing just turned and it's like whatever bad can happen within a game has happened?
Yeah, I mean, that's how baseball is, unfortunately, and we're kind of the victims of that right now. But I know, like I said earlier, like with this group of guys, there's no panic at all after the games. You know, everybody just comes out. It's a we'll get them tomorrow attitude. And I mean, most of these games have been close, too, is the crazy thing. It's not like we're getting blown out by any means. I mean, they're all close games. And we got a lot of guys that are playing well. It's just for some reason on certain days, maybe just not meshing totally. You know, that won't last. I have a good feeling that in June we'll come back ready to play.
All right, back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, and hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel with Jim Hunter. After a victory tonight here against the Yankees, they win the finale by a score of 10-4. Kevin Gausman is now a 3-game winner. Kevin Gausman tonight, 5 1/3, gave up 2 earned runs, a total of 3 runs. He allowed 8 hits, he had 5 walks, and he had 4 strikeouts. So I'll tell you what, Jim, Kevin Gausman still not at his best. But tonight, he was good enough to win this game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think this actually was a good test for him because the Yankees were red hot. We saw what they did last night, hitting the 4 home runs. And before you knew it, they had an 8-0 lead. And this was one of those games to me where Kevin bent, but he didn't break. You look at the first inning, leadoff single, then he gets a double play. And before you know it, a walk, a single, and a walk, and the bases are loaded. But he got a big play by Jonathan Scope on a diving play on a ground ball hit by Headley, got out of the jam, and the Yankees left the bases loaded. Yankees did get a run in the 4th, but then in the 5th, again, he did allow a couple of runs. He faced 8 batters, but he stranded the bases loaded. So the ability in this game to get that big out and not let the Yankees come back with a crooked number inning, as happened to him when he faced them in New York, I think that was a really good sign. I mean, obviously, you'd like to keep it at bay a little better, but the fact that he was able to get out of the jams he created for himself, I thought was a good sign.
Well, his pitch count wasn't all that bad. Through 4 innings, had like 69 pitches. But then all of a sudden, a 25-pitch 5th inning, although in that 5th inning, he got maybe his biggest out of this game when he would strike out Aaron Judge.
Yeah, he struck out Aaron Judge with a couple of men on after 2 runs were already in. And Judge is as hot as anybody. I mean, he's got 17 home runs to lead the major leagues. And he's one of those hitters, Joe, that he'll hit it where it's pitched. And Kevin trying to navigate around the strike zone and not be predictable. He got him on a 3-2 pitch. And what I think was really interesting about that at-bat, Caleb Joseph called for a changeup on the pitch that went to 3-2, and Judge didn't sniff. He came back with the very next pitch, the same pitch, in a very similar spot, and Judge did go after it. He chased it, and it dipped under a swing for a strikeout. So a big, big out there, getting a hot hitter, a dangerous hitter in that spot. And again, after the walk, he got to Reyes to bounce out, and the Yankees left the bases loaded again. So I agree. That may have been his biggest out and biggest battle of the night.
Well, I think it was because of the situation. I mean, the Yankees were trying to get back in the game. They were mounting a rally. And at that time, the Orioles had a 7-1 lead. And we're talking about the game in New York at Yankee Stadium when Kevin Gausman surrendered a 9-1 lead. But when he struck out Aaron Judge, that was maybe his biggest out.
Yeah, because it enabled him to complete that inning. And even though he couldn't get out of the 6th, he only got 1 out, put 2 more men on. And at that point, the Orioles' lead was just 7-3. So Buck Showalter, knowing how big this game is and was, he went to the bullpen for Michael Givens. But again, Gausman, you know, sometimes it's when you pitch and it's who you pitch against. And I think Kevin Gausman coming off that real solid start in Houston last Friday night where he pitched into the seventh and then navigating his way through a very tough Yankee lineup tonight, I think he may be on his way to turning it around and getting a positive role going.
Although I thought he was better his last start than he was tonight.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So, he only gave up the two solo home runs, and the Astros were as hot as the Yankees were. So that is a good point. Hey. But I think what you're looking for, if you're Kevin, is positives to build on. And tonight was certainly one of those because, again, he was in trouble, it seemed, all night long. And he got out of it with a win, allowed only two earned runs, three runs total, and got himself out of a couple of jams.
Well, he was ably supported tonight. The Orioles pick up a total of 10 runs. Adam Jones, a big night. Chris Davis had a big night. And I believe that 9 of the 10 Oriole runs in the game tonight came with two outs.
Yeah, and that's big, Joe, because the opposing team, they're that close to getting out of the rally and getting their team back to the plate, and the pitchers just can't get the out. So the Orioles with the 9 runs with two men down, Chris Davis, the two-run home run in the seventh, and a couple of the rallies. I mean, in the fourth, two outs, nobody on. Hardy gets it going with a double, and Jones caps it with a three-run home run. And then in the seventh, two outs, nobody on. Trumbull with a double, and Chris Davis hits it out. So a real good night, and the run producers on this team that the Orioles look to count on, except for Manny, got it done. Jones had a 5 RBI night. Trumbull had a couple of RBIs, and Davis had 3 ribbies.
Well, the postgame show brought to you by Browns Honda City, by Happy with Browns. And, the scoring began in the bottom of inning number 3. One out, Hardy a single. And then Smith got a base hit. And then Mr. Jones began his big night.
And the pitch, swinging a line drive towards the gap, left center field. That ball is smoked, and it's up against the wall and in play. Hardy around third. He will score. Smith is being held at third, and the relay throw is dropped by Torres. But Smith had already stopped, so he couldn't advance. Adam Jones, welcome back. An RBI double, and the Orioles get a 1-0 lead.
So then Machado came up. He struck out. And Manny at that time was 0-for-2 with a couple of strikeouts. But then Trumbo came up to hit.
And the pitch to Trumbo, swinging a line drive right field. It hangs up for Judge, and it sails over his head and goes all the way to the wall. Smith will score. Jones will score. And in the second base with an RBI double is Mark Trumbo. That line drive sailed on Aaron Judge, and he realized it was going to be deep, and he just couldn't get back on it. A big two-out hit for Trumbo, and it's 3-0 O's.
Yep, Trumbo, RBI's numbers 25 and 26. And then the big fella came up to hit.
And the Tanaka pitch, swinging a line drive, and a base hit in the right field, past the dive of Torres. Trumbo around third, he will score. And a crooked number inning for the O's. They now lead it 4-0. Davis hit that ball hard, and it got past the dive of Torres. So even with the shift, he hit it past them.
Yeah, then later in the fourth inning with two outs and the bases empty. Again, J.J. Hardy. J.J. had a big night tonight, a couple of hits. He doubled to begin a rally with two outs. And then Smith came up. He walked. And so when Adam Jones came up to hit again, there were two men on base.
And Tanaka deals, swinging a high fly ball right center field. That chases Hicks back near the wall, and that ball is gone. It carries into the bleachers. Welcome back, Adam Jones. His second consecutive at-bat, he jumps on the first pitch, and a 3-1 home run makes it 7-1 Baltimore.
How about that? Adam Jones with that 3-run home run, big night for him. Meanwhile, Kevin Gausman had given up an unearned run in the top of the fourth inning, and then the Yankees mounted a rally in the fifth. It all began on a single by Ref Snyder, and eventually, after Hicks had doubled to pick up an RBI, well, Matt Holliday came up to hit. It is now 7-2 here. Holliday digs in, pitch on the way, is looped into shallow center. That ball dropping, that's a base hit. Hicks is going to be waved in. Here's the throw from Adam Jones. It's up that third base side. It is much too late. The run scores. It is now 7-3 on a blooper off the bat of Matt Holliday that found a hole. Yeah, but later, Kevin Gausman, as we talked about, got his biggest out in the game. We felt Aaron Judge came up to hit with two men on base. Aaron Judge, right now, maybe the most dangerous hitter in the American League, but Gausman would eventually strike him out. And he was able to work out of it. And eventually, in the sixth inning, Gausman struck out Romine, but then Ref Snyder would double. And then Gardner came up. He walked. Exit Kevin Gausman. Enter Michael Givens, who then struck out Aaron Hicks. And then he went to work on Matt Holliday.
And the 1-0 pitch is swung on and popped up shallow right. Givens has done the job. Seth Smith waits. He is there and he makes the catch. And Michael Gibbons comes on and strands two inherited runners, and the Yankees cannot score.
And eventually, the Orioles able to pad the lead, bottom of the seventh inning with two outs and the bases empty. Again, the two outs. Trumbull would double, so he was on base for Chris Davis.
And the 2-2 pitch, breaking ball, swinging a high fly ball to right, back on it, Judge, near the bleachers, and that ball is gone. It carries out of here. Davis hits number 11, and two big add-on runs for the O's. The Birds now lead it 9-3, and they have 8 two-out runs in this game. And Chris Davis has a 3-RBI night.
And with that home run, Davis, number 210 of his Orioles career, so he is now 7th all-time all by himself tonight with that home run, moving ahead of Brady Anderson. Now, in the 8th inning, Adam Jones again was productive as Caleb a double with one out. And then with two outs, Smith an infield single to get the inning to Adam Jones. And the breaking ball, ground ball, shortstop. Torres makes a dive. He'll pick it up and then throw to first base. Too late to get Jones. That's going to be an infield single. And so Caleb comes in to score. And the Orioles now in double digits in the run column. Another two-out RBI. It is now 10-4 Orioles. Adam Jones, a 5-RBI night. Yeah, big night for him, big night for the Orioles. Mike Wright, the newly arrived Mike Wright, came out of the bullpen, and he would get the last three outs. And now Wright in the ninth. He delivers 3-2. Bang! And a miss. Strike came out. Ball game is over. Mike Wright ends it with a strikeout. And the Orioles in the win column again as they beat the Yankees 2 out of 3. They win the series. Kevin Gausman, he becomes a 3-game winner. Adam Jones, a big night. Chris Davis, a big night. And now bring on the Bo Sox. That'll be tomorrow night, first of a 4-game set. And Jim Hunter will continue our post-game show right after this.
Orioles beat the Yankees 10-4. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs now. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
What's up?
Well, considering this rough stretch the team's been going through, how satisfying is it to take 2 or 3 for a first-place team like this?
Yeah, if you look at it that way, which I will, you know, half full, half empty. You know, it's a good team playing well with good pitching, not many holes right now, and, you know, it's tough row, and our guys found a way tonight.
Look, how nice was the Dev Adam back? Obviously the production, but just having him back in that lineup in the dugout.
Adam's a big part of our team, and, you know, you don't have to, you know, it's obvious, but, you know, we've had some stretches without people, like all clubs do, that, you know, our guys have found a way to, but a lot easier with him there. He was, you could tell he was pretty fresh.
One of Adam's things has always been, you know, when things go bad, you keep swinging. And when he gets out there again and, you know, takes a couple first pitches and, you know, hits the home run, gets the double, I mean, does that kind of spark you guys when maybe you
have
trouble
what,
getting?
Spark, it's like, you know, Adam's always on. He doesn't, you know, he's not, you know, it's the way he approaches competition. He doesn't have a day like, geez, what's wrong with Adam today? You know, you don't have to worry about the mood. You know, he's got things in life that affect you emotionally and mentally, but, you know, when they get through playing that song, he's ready. You know, he's always firing. And that's been, you know, some of the challenges for him. I'd a lot rather him be challenged by trying to hold back here and there as opposed to push people forward. That's not a lot of fun for teammates and coaches and managers of having to push people forward.
Was there something different with Davis's approach at the plate tonight?
Well, a couple of them, we hit balls where they were shifted to, but just in between the seam, you know, step here or there. And no, but we know what Chris is capable of. I'd like to say, yes, this means that, and this means this, but, you know, we're going to see 4 real good pitchers in the next 4 days, and probably will again behind there, but it was a good – I thought Chris contributed defensively as much as he did offensively, and he's been consistent with that through thick and thin.
What did you see out of Gausman tonight?
You know, he gets that fastball where he wants to down and away, but I thought he bent but didn't break. You know, sometimes with that lead, you can get some anxiety and try to rush through it. Getting through that 5th inning, made a couple big pitches. But, you know, they're so, you know,
good offensively, among other things, that you never feel like, you know, that you can put it in cruise control. You can't do that in the big leagues, period, especially in the American League and the American League East.
Do you feel like Givens kind of brought a sense of calm there? There's five
Mike
outs
probably again. Had the biggest innings other than, you know, guys starting, pitching. But that was a good, consistent outing from Mike. We needed that tonight, and try to keep our feet on the ground for the next series physically with our pitching. Mike Wright was impressive, came in through the bowl. We'll talk and see if he's still going to be available tomorrow in long relief because Baldo's still not available.
This was Tanaka's worst start against you guys. What did you see with Tanaka?
You know, he's always the bottom of the zone. He's just maybe a half a ball below the zone that our guys quit on a lot. And what mistakes he made, they put some good swings on him. We were, I don't know, but you know, sometimes when a guy, it works so good below, in the lower part of the zone, when he's just a ball below that and gets a lot of counts in a hitter's favor, because it seems like against us he's always worked way ahead in the count. But, you know, he'll pitch well again.
Talk with Kevin. Is there an issue with him out of the stretch? It seems like, you know, he's overpowering at times, but it doesn't seem like he has a one base runner inning. When he gets a guy on base, mm-hmm. something happens after that. Last at least several starts.
Yeah, if you notice, a lot of pitchers are kind of pitching side straddle, I call it. You know, there's a big rule. You see it with Tillman and a lot of our guys. And the thought of that is trying to stay together, you know, with the same delivery when you go on a stretch. But, you know, I noticed that too. But then you go through stretches where, it's, you know, the whole idea in pitching is to stay out of the stretch. You know, it's inevitable. But, you know, when Kevin commands the fastball, you know, the reverse split stuff is not going to work. It's going to be in his favor, which he showed at periods tonight. He just got to stay away from a lot. When he throws a lot of those off-speed pitches that are a ball right out of his hand, you know, guys, he doesn't get a chance to have some offers at pitches that are strike to ball. And you don't want too many of those ball to strike, breaking balls, unless you're behind an account.
You mentioned Mike Wright a minute ago, but I know it was a six-run game when he came in, but was that important that he come in and show you that he can?
I thought it was important that he come in and get outs before we had to get Brad going, more than anything, but, you know, people say, well, that was a 10-4 game. Well, you know, to him, it's a 2-1 game. In his mind, the way guys are pitching, and, you know, if he ends up throwing 30, 40 pitches and we have to get Brad in, guess what happens to him tomorrow? They know. So I think there's a certain amount of pressure involved in that game, even though some people don't think so or wouldn't think so.
You've been pretty adamant over the last few years about Mike being a starter. Is the organization changing at all its view that maybe this is what he might be best at?
Oh, I think that's always been in everybody's mind, including mine, that if it didn't work out, that is where we felt like he could fall. But because of the premium and the need, not only us, everybody, to go down the starting role first. It's kind of like the guy you want to see if Mountcastle can play shortstop before you do something else. When you take him at the premium position and then take it from there. But I think that possibility's always everybody's talked about, but not, you know, the first topic when you're talking about him as a pitcher. You want to see if he can handle starting. But that was pretty good tonight. That was, already got a text from one of our scouts. It's reminds me of that all the time. As soon as the game ended, I looked on my phone. Okay.
The post-game comments, Buck Showalter, as the Orioles beat the Yankees 10-4.